You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hen.
Don't look up the Henlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode 94 of The Training Dummies, recorded on May 11th, 2015. My name is Daryl, and someone's been messing with my show notes.
No.
I main a Resto Shaman, which I took to raid this week, and co-main a Destruction Warlock, which I did not take to raid this week.
That's not what you have here in the notes.
It says here that you only made a warlock. So,
yeah, someone's been messing with my notes when I was away. And with me this evening, who I'm sure is to blame, is my bro host with the most, Rob, who mains a something monk.
Best class ever.
Yes. Also in the notes here, it says, insert witty comment about the guest, but we stopped inserting a witty comment about show 80. So we'll just give a warm Training Dummies welcome to our guest, and he's been messing with the pronunciation here, I see, Masume.
Welcome. Hello there. Oh, I got applause as well.
Yes.
It's nice.
Nothing but the best.
It's applause from the future from everybody listening to the show later on.
That's impressive. It's a good technology there.
Yeah. So what we generally do is something completely different than any other podcast, and we kind of start off with some interview questions.
Oh, and, go ahead.
Yeah, because nobody ever does that. So
it's novel to me, so don't worry about that.
So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, like how, when, where you got started playing, and what is your current main?
I actually started playing over on EU Realms, oddly enough. I started playing when I was in university, near the end of Cataclysm, because my housemate played at the time, and he was like, oh, this game's great, you can be a Worgen, which is like a wolf with a top hat, and I was pretty much sold. So like I started playing the game. I played a hunter. I was terrible. I rolled on strength weapons, as everyone does. So there you go. Everything's a hunter weapon, basically, in that time. I ended up tanking for a guild, which we killed Deathwing on normal with an incredible 35% nerf, which I think was a great accomplishment, and honestly, like, that guild was world first material. But that was when I started playing as a Blood DK. So that was at the end of Cataclysm. I moved over to US Realms to play with some friends. I want to say just after the beginning of Mists of Pandaria, and I started playing a Ellie Shaman, and I raided on that until I eventually switched over to Brewmaster Monk, which is what I play today. I think I went from I went from clearing Dragon Soul with a 35% nerf to being in the US 12th guild, so it's like it's a bit of an improvement over the time, but
That's serious. Like,
we'll see. I mean, I still like to think that I still like to think that Dragon Soul is an accomplishment, but yeah. So now I'm obviously at the moment I play Brewmaster Monk in my main raid, and I also play Protection Paladin as the kind of alt run there, so.
Now we were talking a little bit before the show, and your Brewmaster Monk guide was one of the things that really turned my game around for me in Warlords. I had a handle on it pretty good in Mists, but I felt like, you know, Warlords rolled around, and I just sucked. And your guide, and then we brought Daggard on to do a Brewmaster episode, and it was just the sky opened up and the angels sank down. The Brewmaster is just wonderful.
It's definitely one of the more fun tanking specs. It's not because it's overpowered, I promise you that. We won't talk about that bit there, but...
Well, I don't want to spend the entire night talking about how great brewmasters are when we're not doing a brewmaster.
Exactly, exactly. No more brewmasters.
It never hits, so don't worry about that.
Right. So what is the origin of the name Masume?
When I played on EU Realms, I bought the Diablo, well, the annual pass, which gave you like Diablo 3,
right.
gave you Warlords, Mr. Pandaria beta access, and I ended up when the monk class was released on there and the pandas were released, I ended up I'm going to create a panda. I'm going to make a panda. I'm going to see what it's like. And I hit the random name button, which was obviously, I think it was only introduced in that beta. And the first name that came up was Misum, which is M-I-S-U-M. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to stick with that. And from that point on, that's basically been where all my toons have been named from. So from a random button press on what I'm guessing Blizzard thinks is an Asian name, like that's now every single like name of my toons from now on. So it worked out pretty well, I think, for myself.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
I've met a lot of friends for a while. Probably the... I'm trying to think now. It's a bit of a hard one, to be honest. I'd say the best actual kind of memory in terms of WoW was the... I wouldn't say... probably the first tier I cleared when it was current, which was tier 14. I'd only just started raiding, properly. Like I said, I'd raided kind of casually before, but I only just started raiding properly. And I played my Ellie Shaman. I used to play in the early hours of the morning because there's about a 5-hour time difference between myself and the East Coast. So I would play from about 1 till 4 a.m. My time, what would be Wednesday through to Friday. And I remember us killing Shar of Fear, and that was the kind of first time... Shar of Fear in the Terrace. And that was the kind of first end boss that I'd actually killed when it was current, and I was like, alright, this is really cool. I didn't even, like, at that point even think about heroic rating or anything like that. I was like, alright, this is it, this is the pinnacle. Like, we cleared it before it was current. I got the nice little ahead of the curve achieve. And I think that was kind of the first time clearing that with friends at the time in 10-man rating was when I first thought, alright, I'm starting to enjoy this game, I guess, there, so... That'd be probably one of the most fond memories.
Nice, right on. What are you looking forward in patch 6.2?
Fel'Lord. I can't remember exactly which fight it is. I believe it might be one of the Endwing bosses, but it's by far the most fun I've had tanking a fight in a very, very long time. It's that and the Brewmaster nerfs, which are entirely justified. I'm actually quite looking forward to them, which sounds odd, but we'll see about them. Tanking that on the PTR, it was an absolutely fantastic fight from a tank perspective. There's a section where it puts you into like some kind of Shadow Realm. Think like Shar of Fear, Pac-Man. And when you come out of the Shadow Realm, you have to avoid things. Like if you've ever played like a bullet hell game like Toho, you have to avoid little kind of purple orbs the entire time. And when you come out at the end, you fire energy waves at your entire raid that can kill them if they step in it. And there's some potential there to have some interesting wipes, I can tell you that one now. But it's definitely a fun fight so far. So
nice.
That and the tanking trinket from Archimonde looks incredible. So that'll probably be the most thing I'm looking forward to in 6.2. No flying.
Really hope that they consider those mechanics when it comes to LFR.
I can guarantee it will not happen in LFR. It's the mechanics in this raid look a little bit brutal for LFR, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I love you hearing you say that you are really just looking forward to the changes and
definitely
because I don't know, I'm slightly anxious about the Brewmaster changes, but like we were talking before we started that it seems that everybody who knows any better really says that they're justified and it's a good thing and everybody we're gonna be okay.
It's basically prioritizes, from what I can see, a high crit build, which brings you back to like Siege of Dodrimar, which is going to be incredible. Like, so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, kind of actually having a more active field. But I don't think, I'll get on to prop pallies in 6.2 later on anyway, but that's I'm definitely looking forward to that there.
What would you say has been your favorite raid boss of all time?
Evo Mythic Imperator from this tier is probably normal or heroic Imperator is a pretty boring fight, in my opinion. Mythic Imperator is absolutely fantastic. Like, even if you haven't actually done the fight, I would recommend watching the Paragon kill video of that fight, because it's probably the best kill video I've seen of all time. Like, it's an absolutely fantastic fight, and there's the phase four where Cho'Gall comes down. It's just an incredible fight. There's a lot of different mechanics. It works really well in the fact that a lot of mythic encounters have just been, hey, it's the same fight as the previous, but there's an extra mechanic added, like Orgorja or something like that in this tier. There's Fire in the Lane. There's no real major difference between the two, but Imperator kind of combined all the mechanics into one, and it made for a really interesting fight. The only other one I could say that would compare would be maybe Siegecrafter Blackfuse in Siege of Orgrimmar, or possibly Lei Shen, because that was a fantastic end boss as well. Blackhand is terrible, and I will definitely not say that's my favorite boss of all time.
Man, you hear a lot of people actually say the Blackhand is really hard and really fun, but I don't...
It's not. Like, I mean, obviously as a tank, my perspective of that fight is spending 4 minutes being rammed into a wall by a siege engine. Like, that's not interesting. I literally AFK and, like, watch Netflix on a different monitor while that part of the fight happens. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, Blizzard said when they announced Mythic Raiding that they wanted to do a balanced 20-man size so that they could always attest for having at least one of every class in the raid. But what they didn't tell you was that it meant that your raid's just going to be boomkins and robes, and that's the only way you can do the fight. Like, that's kind of it. Like, but it's we won't talk about Blackhand because it's definitely not high on my list. But
yeah. All right,
Mythic Imperator or Siegecrafter, I would say.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing you won't say fighting Blackhand for this next question then. But what is your favorite thing to do in game right now?
The thing in the Horde Garrison where you jump between the two rocks over and over again while AFK. That's probably my favorite thing to do in the game at the moment. At the moment, I'm actually enjoying my alt runs more than the main runs. And I'm also on kind of my days off. I'm helping out a casual guild that my friend is friends with. I've been going in and helping them kind of not really raid leading, but kind of assisting them. And they went from 7 of 10 to 10 of 10 heroic this week. So, like, just helping out people, I guess. I occasionally just hop into Group Finder and see if I can find a group to help out. Like, it's just when I'm bored and things like that.
That's amazing. That is so cool. Awesome.
There's always times to practice, so I like to just hop in and see if there's anyone. Plus, it lets me tell people to leave the ads alone on Beast Lord so I can, like, scumbag on them, but that's a different topic.
That's hilarious. Are you trying to parse, or are you just...
It's just interesting, I guess. Like, they leave them alone, and you just sit there in AoE in the corner the entire time.
That's awesome.
That's funny. All right, well, then maybe we should get away from this brewmaster talk and start on what we're really here for. But first,
this is Monkio from Midwinter, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right, Protection Paladins.
Yeah. So, yes. Protection Paladins. What do you want? Well, what do you want me to ask, or do you want me to just go into kind of the class itself?
Yeah, you can just kind of lead it. Like, this is totally a self-serving episode. In that
we never do that either.
Yeah, I leveled my paladin. I've always leveled my paladin as protection, just because it's just easy. And this time I'm actually attempting to tank in dungeons and raids as a paladin, but I have no clue what I'm doing. I really don't. I hit a few buttons.
So we made him tank an LFR after our guild raid the other night.
Yes.
And I don't even know the chaos that was going on, and I think our other tank that was with him may have been trolling a little. I think
the sizable bourbon buff I had going on may have contributed to that hot mess, but
fun though. I mean, Bragginspor was like doing like 360s and spitting his.
I don't even know what was going on there.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes. That happens. I remember unfair times about Bracket Spore during progression on a paladin. I was actually originally going to be playing my paladin as my main this tier, but I ended up swapping to the monk shortly before the actual Heimal dropped, which made my raid leader very happy considering the amount of BOEs he gave me, but that's a different story. I think Protection Paladin's probably one of the more interesting tank classes, in my opinion. It's always it's very fun to level. I'll tell you that now. I mean, you said you leveled it because it was easy. The feeling of just lobbing a shield at people and like having them come to you is so much fun. You feel like Captain America the entire time. Like, and that is one of the kind of big things about it. The image of it, like this holy kind of warrior and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's Prop Pally's in a weird place at the moment. But I'll kind of give like an overview of it, and then we can We can kind of talk about the place it has in the tanking world afterwards, right. I guess. At max level, obviously, like I said, we have a kind of you've written kind of a little bit here, just kind of go over the stats for prop paladins in general. Obviously, bonus armor is king always, but that's pretty much the same with every tank spec at the moment. It's Blizzard's kind of like niche stat, I guess, and they want it to be powerful. They want it to be kind of in demand. And I guess because you can only get it on a certain amount of items or certain like jewelry or cloaks or trinkets, it is kind of high in demand. So that's always best for you, pretty much. After that, you still want to kind of be going with haste, similar to six in Mr. Pandaria, and then it's kind of mastery. After that, the other three talents kind of fall off, or the other three stats kind of fall off, but it really depends on kind of what talent you go with. In terms of like talents, prop pallies have a lot of choice, but only really in the later tiers. From like 15, 30, 45, and 60, you kind of have like a set amount of talents that you're going to have, if that makes sense. They don't really have any effect on your gameplay, but the last three tiers have like a really interesting effect. Like the tier 75 talent is for holy power generation. I don't know if you kind of messed around with it that much, but you have Holy Avenger, Sanctified Wrath, and Divine Purpose, and they're all kind of really, I guess, different talents, if that makes sense. Because prop paladins are very similar to, well, every kind of paladin. You build up holy power and you expand it. That's the kind of basis in a really small nutshell there.
Okay.
But these talents kind of affect how you build that up. Holy Avenger is a burst cooldown. It basically, every single time you use a holy power generating ability, it gives you free holy power instead of just a single one, which obviously as a paladin, your main abilities need free holy power pretty much. So you can use that as a burst kind of mitigation. Sanctified Wrath is a little bit of an odd talent. It basically makes it so that you have an extra holy power generator, and it's odd. It's different from how it was in MOP. But I guess it's okay. It doesn't quite compare with the other two talents there. Divine Purpose is very RNG based, because it basically gives you a chance every time you use Word of Glory or Shield of the Righteous. It gives you a 25% chance for the next one to be completely free. It doesn't consume any holy power, but it acts as if free were consumed. So that's kind of like your please God, please button light up button, where it's like I just want this to proc. Like I used it tonight on Iron Maidens, and it just lit up constantly one pull. Like I had like 40 seconds of Shield of Righteous, and on the next it just didn't happen at all. It's kind of placing your hope in the gods of RNG there. But I mean, like I said, the prop pally rotation itself, it builds around building up holy power in order to defend yourself through kind of two different ways. You have Shield of the Righteous, which is a flat damage reduction, similar to like a Brewmaster with Shuffle, but not quite as easy to maintain. Going to be looking at 100% there, unfortunately. But you want to try and maintain that as much as possible. But you also have your heal, which is Word of Glory. Now, one thing that I see a lot of people doing is they just ignore Shield of the Righteous, and they spam the heal. Because they think, hang on, my health pool is slipping so much, I need to spam this heal. But what they end up with is they end up basically having no damage reduction. And they just kind of like, they need to keep spamming this heal because they keep getting hit with no damage reduction, if that makes sense. I think that's kind of like a noob trap that a lot of prop allies fall into, unfortunately. Like they just think, oh god, my health pool is going down, I need to kind of spam heal. And it never really gets them anywhere. But that's the kind of main crux of it, choosing between those two. And that's kind of what that tier helps you out with.
So Shield of the Righteous, it costs three holy power, right?
Yeah, costs three holy power,
and then it gives you the buff that's a damage reduction that lasts, what is it, like 5 seconds?
It's 3 seconds with each cast of it, but it can stack. So if you cast another one while you have one up, it go like say if you cast another Shield of the Righteous while you have 2 seconds left on your buff, it goes up to 5 seconds. So it is similar to Shuffle in that regard, but it does mean that you have to time it correctly. Because, I mean, it's great if you're not... if you're tanking the boss and you have 20 seconds uptime on Shield the Righteous, that's fantastic. But if you're not tanking the boss and as soon as you taunt, you have nothing, then it's unfortunate for you. You're going to kind of get, like, hit hard there. So it's a lot of paladins kind of manage that around swing timers on bosses and make sure they have enough active abilities and things like that. Kind of timing that is one of the key parts of playing a prop pally, if that makes sense there. You're not going to keep it up 100%, mm-hmm. but you can keep it up 100% when it matters, if that makes sense. And that's kind of more important than how big the buff is.
So you could sit on some holy power when you know I'm about to taunt, I'm about to take this hit, sit and at least have three in the bank, and then taunt, and then shield.
Well, you can get up to five on a max level prop paladin, on any max level paladin, you can get up to five holy power. So the best kind of practice you have is building five holy power and then taunting. Like, you want to get up to that before you kind of have to taunt off there.
Okay.
And that means, obviously, when you get it, you can do two back-to-back pretty much Shields of the Righteous. And it gives you kind of a buffer while your healers get ready. The problem with Shield of the Righteous is that without it being up, prop paladins are very, very squishy. Which you wouldn't quite expect. And we also have a really low health pool compared to all other kind of tanks, which, like I said, you also wouldn't really expect. So, but I'll get into that like in a little bit when I kind of talk about the differences between the kind of tanks this tier. But back to like the talents, your level 90 talents, which are introduced in MOP, they're very simple. It's similar to Monk. Do you want to do AoE damage or healing, or do you want to do single target healing? And then kind of one on the side that nobody really uses. That's kind of how it goes down. Light Hammer is incredible AoE damage and healing. Execution Sentence is incredible single target damage. Well, not really incredible, but it's single target damage and single target healing. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to mostly a choice between those two. The level 100 talents are really where it gets interesting, though. Obviously, like I said, a lot of the classes have some really interesting level 100 talents. I mean, they're not going to have level 100 talents last tier, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a lot of the level 100 talents are really kind of interesting. Prop paladins have empowered seals, which you know how seals work on paladins, right? Mm-hmm. How you have seals of the righteous, like it's
basically a stance, right?
Basically, empowered seals basically makes it so that you gain a buff whenever you use judgment inside one of those seals. Now, this actual ability was nicknamed Ebola Seals for quite a long time because it's terrible. It's unfortunately it has meaning. It's great. Like you kind of want it to be good, but it's unfortunately just not. It fits a niche on Black Hand at the moment. That's about it for Prop Paladin. Every other fight, really, you want to go upon the other two options. But using it while you're in Shield of the Righteous, or Seal of the Righteous, increases your haste by 20%, which puts you up to like a huge amount of haste. It's a pretty decent buff. Using it in Seal of Insight makes it heal you for 2% of your health every 3 seconds. It's not great, unfortunately. It needs some pretty significant buffs for it to kind of be competitive. So it comes down to a choice between Seraphim and Holy Shield. Now, I want to ask, you said that you did LFR, right? On your paladin. Which one did you pick? Did you pick Holy Shield or Seraphim?
I have Holy Shield right now.
All right. Holy Shield is a nice choice. It's entirely passive, and it's actually really, well, it's pretty good for Bracken Spore as well, because it blocks spell damage as well. It's entirely passive, and in terms of actual mitigation, it's probably the better actual talent. Like, I used it on all our progression fights and things like that. If you want to have fun, Seraphim is definitely the way to go. One of the main reasons I played my paladin when this expansion dropped is because Seraphim is so fun. It consumes 5 holy power. So you remember how we were talking about, oh, you need holy power to mitigate? Mm-hmm. It consumes 5. So that's a lot of time when you're not using Shield the Righteous, and it does make you a little bit vulnerable. But what it does is it increases all of your stats, haste, crit, mastery, multi-strike, versatility, bonus armor by 750. For 15 seconds. Now, that's huge. That's a huge increase. Mm-hmm. It has a 30-second cooldown, so like you can effectively maintain 50% uptime on this for the whole fight. It used to be 1,000, so you used to literally increase yourself by a K every single time you use this ability. And when you had it up, you were basically invincible. When you had it down, you're incredibly vulnerable because obviously you're waiting to get it back up again. But when it was up, you were basically invincible for the duration of it. It gives like a really interesting dynamic to prop paladin tanking. It was actually nerfed in high mole, because a lot of guilds just did obscene damage with prop pallies, but that's related to a kind of different thing, which I'll get into later on there. But like I said, that's the kind of rundown of the actual talent itself. In terms of single target,
go ahead. So the first four here, like it doesn't. First four tiers, it doesn't matter which you take. Then, like,
Well, the only one that matters is the level 45 talent. You just basically want to run Sacred Shield because the other two do not compete at the moment.
Okay, and
you kind of want to make sure. Oh yeah, so you definitely want that.
You don't want the
Sacred Shield. Okay.
So wait, you don't want... I thought Eternal Flame was pretty viable.
It used to be. Eternal Flame I don't even have very strong. But, well, wow, you're selfless. Okay, yeah, I can see where the problem comes from. Sacred Shield, Eternal Flame used to be very strong in the Pandaria with the way that it benefited from Vengeance. Mm-hmm. And also as well as that with the Tier 16 4 piece, which let you cast a free Eternal Flame. I think it was every time you use like free Shield to Righteousness, you could cast a free Eternal Flame. So, and you used to be able to maintain 100% uptime on it. That's where you get like videos of people solo tanking Fock and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, because it was such a strong talent with Vengeance. In this tier though, it's just basically nerfed at the ground. You're not going to get any real benefit from it. It needs a huge buff before it's significant. So Sacred Shield kind of overtakes it there again. You basically just want to maintain that 100%, but the rest of the talents, you can pretty much choose whatever you want. The first one's like a movement speed talent tree, second one's for CC, the level 60 is... it basically affects your hands, not like in real life or anything or in-game, but like hand of protection, hand of purity, all the kind of like utility you bring to a raid. That bit there lets you kind of choose, bring a little bit more utility through those options. The best one, to be honest, is Unbreakable Spirit, but that's more for personal reasons. But there you go, you got one. It's like talent sheet bingo. It's like, all right, here you go. Yeah, you just passed. Like, you got one of them, right? So that's all right. But yeah, like the rest of them are kind of situational. It's the kind of last three talents that are really interesting there, but yeah.
Okay.
In terms of single target, prop paladins are actually really, really weak right now. I don't think there's anyone weaker than them. I think...
nice. Oh my gosh.
Main reason... It's just in terms of like actual dealing damage. Like in terms of mitigation, they're probably also weak, but don't worry about that. In terms of like when this tier drops, I mentioned Seraphim. You used to be able to combine Seraphim, Holy Avenger, that talent that I mentioned, where it gives you like free holy power every time you use a holy power generator, and like your trinkets and your potions, and you used to just do obscene damage. If you remember Butcher in Mythic Highmoor, a lot of prop paladins were just topping the charge because they just could not be beaten in terms of like single target damage, and it came down to combining those four things: trinket procs, potions, Holy Avenger, and Seraphim. And Blizzard kind of got really confused and nerfed the wrong thing. They removed what was called Seal of Truth, which was the DPS stance for paladins, and they removed that even though that wasn't what was causing the problem, and they nerfed Seraphim by a little bit as well, but the main thing kind of still sits there. It just means you don't really have any single target sustain. If you look at a prop paladin's logs, at the beginning of the fight they'll be at like 80k or something like that, and then the rest they'll be at 19k. It doesn't matter how good you're playing, that's kind of where you're stuck, unfortunately, there. In terms of AoE though, prop paladins are absolutely ridiculous, which is odd because I played prop paladin for a little bit at the end of Mists of Pandaria, doing something like Galakraz, where there was a ton of ads everywhere. People would just rip off me left, right, and center. I wouldn't be able to keep around anything, and I'd just cry the entire time. But in this tier, prop paladins are absolutely ridiculous in terms of AoE. If you go into something like Fogar or Beast Lord, you just drop Light Hammer and just enjoy your life. Like it's an obscene amount of damage. And they're actually really strong as well on AoE tanking. Like something like Blast Furnace, they're incredibly strong with that there.
So what would the... Like, for single target and then AoE, what's that priority look like?
So, it's very similar, to be honest, in terms of the actual...
You swap out Hammer for Crusade or whatever.
You do that on plus on free targets or more, you want to swap out for Hammer of the Righteous. On single target, it's... on like two targets, it's not an increase to use Hammer. It's you still want to be using Crusader Strike, but the basic rotation is Crusader Strike, Judgment, and then a filler ability, so like Avenger's Shield or Holy Wrath, and then Crusader Strike, Judgment, Crusader Strike, and then you just wait until they're off cooldown. It basically you want to rotate those two abilities. For every two Judgment casts, you should have like three Crusader Strikes, if that makes sense. That's the kind of one you want to give priority because it has such a short cooldown. So for generating holy power, that's what you kind of want to do there. So I'll write that down later, but it's basically using those two abilities and then just filling in the kind of blank GCDs there. That's how you do single target. But AoE is very similar as well. But
and then, so do you open up with consecration or do you
For an actual opener, you taunt, and then depending on, like, if you have Holy Avenger, you use Holy Avenger and just, like, follow your standard single target rotation. For AoE, I would open up with Light's Hammer, Consecration, and then you can do your standard, like, rotation there. Mm-hmm. In AoE, you want to kind of put precedence on Avenger's Shield as well, because it does such a huge amount of damage, and it also, like, generates a huge amount of threat going around, obviously, all the targets, but mm-hmm. AoE situations, you basically want to keep Consecration down 100% of the time. It's pretty easy and it's pretty easy to maintain the whole time. You should find a lot of spare GCDs in there, but obviously you don't really want to be doing that much on single target there, unless you just have nothing else to press. It's a bit like if you ever played an Enhancement Shaman, you just hit buttons until they stop lighting up, and then you kind of wait a little bit. That's kind of how you do the Proud Paladin routine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of how that works there.
Awesome, okay.
What else was there? Cooldowns. Paladins are... They do have actually quite a strong... there are some strong cooldowns. You have your standard like shield wall like cooldown, which is just a blanket 50% reduction. That's Guardian of the Ancient Kings. I actually really like Guardian of the Ancient Kings because it summons this cool, like, Diablo Tyrael looking guy who kind of gives you wings and stares at you for a bit. So I actually like it more for how it looks than how it actually kind of performs, if that makes sense. You have that. You have Divine Protection, which is a really a strong magical reduction. It actually reduces 40% magical damage for 8 seconds, and it has a 30-second cooldown if you Talent Unbreakable Spirit, which is what I recommended earlier. So if you use that, it has a 30-second cooldown and an 8% reduction. You can also glyph it, and it gives you it only does 20% reduction for magic damage, but it gives you 20% physical reduction as well. So that's kind of a recommended glyph I would put there. As well as that, you have Argent Defender, which reduces the damage you take by 20%, and it also, if you are hit by an attack that would normally kill you while you have it up, you survive the attack. And you're given 12% health as well. It just heals you instead of actually killing you. Mm-hmm. So that's like a really strong cooldown in a kind of clutch situation. If you have nothing else, that's kind of where you want to be putting your fingers there. As well as that, you have like the standard paladin abilities like Divine Shield, Hand of Protection, Lay on Hands as well. I don't personally recommend Divine Shielding in the middle of an encounter because obviously enemies stop attacking you and then go to the person who's next highest on threat, which a lot of the time happens to be a DPS, as I unfortunately found out. So I don't recommend pushing that button unless you want to have a really angry DPS on your hands there.
So that just drops your threat altogether.
Yeah, it gives you complete immunity to the majority of abilities. I say the majority because I've been one shot through it on Hands and Friends by the Suplex, but we won't talk about that. But it gives you complete immunity to basically most abilities, but it also means that enemies stop attacking you. Now, if you taunt when you actually have it up, the enemy will be forced to attack you, though. So that's how you see people like solo soaking slices on Gruul and things like that.
Oh, you okay.
That, and then when he starts casting Inferno Strike, and you taunt to make sure that he points at you. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how you can do that there. Nice, it's a strong ability if you use it well, but if you fat finger it or anything like that, like I've been known to do, it's unfortunate. But yeah, it could be worse. What else is there to talk about? I mean, the thing about prop pallies is, obviously, like I said, I play a Brewmaster main, and my prop pally is my main alt. It's 9 of 10 mythic, my Brewmaster is 10 of 10. I feel like Blizzard kind of messed up in regards to tank balance, this actual expansion, and I think the Brewmaster and prop paladins are two really good examples of it, if that makes sense. Obviously, a Brewmaster has an incredibly smooth damage intake, as you can tell when you've been playing. Mm-hmm. But it also has ridiculously strong absorb shields. Like Guard is ridiculously powerful, and as well as that, it has a pretty strong heal that you can use, like 100k or something like that. Most Expel Harms will heal for, so you have a really strong heal in terms of that to react to any damage that does somehow make it past your Guard. Prop pallies don't really have much in that. It's like They have quite a spiky damage intake without kind of Shield the Righteous being up. So the damage intake is quite spiky, but they don't really have any, oh god, I'm going to die buttons, like a Guard or anything like that, apart from Lay on Hands. So they don't really have much to react to. As well as that, they actually have the lowest health pool of any of the current tanks. My, like, nearly eye level 700 prop pally has only slightly more health than my 670 DK. And it's like, it's odd that a tank that has such relatively low effective health also just has very relatively low health in general. Like, you actually want to run with, like, stam treatments and things like that, which really a lot of tanks don't, which is quite odd. But it's, I think that it's in need of some significant buffs before Hellfire Citadel drops. Otherwise, I think you're going to see a lot of tanks moving away from playing Prop Paladin. I don't want to put you off, considering, like I said, you've just started leveling as your main tank. It's a case of if you're not going for like cutting edge progression, honestly, a Prop Pally is still fine. It's still fun to play. It just means that, unfortunately, for the kind of like nth percent or whatever who are going for it, they're not going to be viable as well as the other kind of four tanks there. It's still very fun to play. If that makes it still, I mean, I actually enjoy it. Like I said, more than my Brewmaster, but it's it's mostly because my Brewmaster is invincible at the moment, and I don't know if you've tried, but there's like it's like if you watch like a Superman movie or if you watch like a Superman cartoon, you never really feel like you never really care because Superman's invincible. Nothing's gonna happen to him. Like oh no, someone's gonna punch Superman. No, he's not. He's invincible. That's how it feels just playing a Brewmaster right now. Whereas like playing a Paladin is more like Spider-Man. Like he's a cool superhero. He's less like invincible than Superman. Like he's more interesting to play. Like nobody cares about Superman. Like unless he gets like Kryptonite near him, which I don't know what Kryptonite is for monks. Maybe magic damage, I guess. Like that's kind of like monk Kryptonite. But that's how I feel about it there. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Like I said, 6.2 is going to be a little bit awkward for prop pallies if they don't see any buffs. But we're still waiting. Like I mean, the PTR is not over yet, so we'll have to see. Unfortunately, but
well, you mentioned still enjoy it. The one glyph. What glyphs should I be looking at? Because I'm looking at my thing here, and I've actually only got two majors right now. So that's
which
probably
ones do you have at the.
I have Final Wrath and Consecrator.
Okay,
and they are.
I actually have those two. Final Wrath basically makes your Holy Wrath deal an additional 50% damage to targets with less than 20% health. It's like an execute nuke. I try to combine like five words at once there, and it didn't work. It's like an execute nuke. If something drops below that, then you just do a huge amount of damage with
Holy Wrath.
Consecrator is it's one of your filler abilities.
It's the AoE one. Okay.
Yeah, it does like it is technically AoE because it goes in an area around you, but it does the same damage. If that makes sense. Use it on one target, and it does 4K. If you use it on two targets, it'll do 2K to each of them. If you use it on four targets, it'll do 1K to each of them. Eight targets does it to that's how that works there. But it's a very strong ability when combined with that that glyph and the Sanctified Wrath talent I mentioned earlier, because it ends up doing, I think, I can't remember the exact calculation, it's about like 300 or 600% extra damage, like when it's under 20%. It's that huge. It's ridiculous, but it's
good for threat too, right?
Definitely strong. Consecrator is really good as well. It basically makes it so that your consecration follows you, which doesn't matter too much in like raid content when you're not moving that much, but if you're doing like a 5-man dungeon, I remember when this came out at the beginning of the expansion, I just loved it. Like I would have it on all the time, just running around with this little consecrator following me around. It's a really, really strong talent. You probably have an empty slot there because what used to be a major glyph, Alabaster Shield, was a really, really strong glyph, and then they just took it out. It used to basically, I'm trying to remember exactly what it did. I can't remember whether it increased your damage you did or whether it took reduced the damage that you took more when you shield the Righteous. I think it was the first one, but they took that out of the game a while back. The one glyph I can definitely recommend picking up is Divine Protection. If you see that one there, that's the one I mentioned where it gives you 20% physical damage reduction as well as 20% instead of 40% magical. That's a really useful glyph. I actually use it on pretty much all content. I can't think of an example where I don't use it at the moment. Maybe Flamebender, but every other fight I use it on. It's really strong, and it gives you. Say for example, you find yourself you're using like that Divine Purpose, you know, the proc based talent I mentioned. You find yourself in a dry spell. You can't maintain Shield the Righteous. The boss is hitting you for a bit. That talent, or that ability, it gives you like a 20% reduction. It's a really useful little kind of. Oh God, I don't have anything else, but. You can use it as many times, but I'm trying to think if there's any other glyphs that you might want. Do you have any other glyphs on your paladin at the moment, or do you just have the two that you mentioned there?
Just the two that I mentioned. Like, I'm just looking at, on Battle.net right now. Yeah. I have Contemplation, of course. Have to have that one.
Well, I mean, we've got, I don't even know how many stinking inscriptionists in the guild. I mean, that's not a big deal, so.
You can, the other ones I would recommend is you can get Focus Shield, which is for single-target fights, exclusively single-target fights. It basically makes it so that your Avenger's Shield only hits one target, but it does 30% more damage. So if you're fighting something like Gruul or Orgor, Gruul or Orgorger or Butcher, you just take that. It's a pretty huge damage increase. You can also take Hand of Sacrifice, Glyph. It's not really needed. You know what Hand of Sacrifice does? Or it's like the kind of cooldown there? It basically makes it so that if you use it on a friendly player, it transfers 30% of the damage that they take to you for 12 seconds. So, say for example, your co-tank is about to take a huge hit and their cooldowns aren't going to manage it, you give it to them and it's basically a 30% damage reduction for them. But what the glyph makes it do is it makes it so that it doesn't transfer any damage to you. It's just a straight up 30% damage reduction for your friend. So it's they might like you for that there. But that's one you can take. Not really needed that much, because obviously you're a tanky, I mean, you're designed to take damage. But those are the kind of main glyphs I would recommend there, for your actual paladin, at least.
So the hands, like you mentioned, Hand of Sacrifice there, how often should I be using those in a fight? Because I know on Friday I didn't use any, and I don't know if I should have.
Honestly, you might not find yourself using them that much.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how much. Like, I mean, in my raid especially, or in our raid especially, external cooldowns like Hand of Sacrifice are on a somewhat like the tank calls for it, or it's either pre-assigned or the tank calls for it.
Okay.
So, to give you an example, if nobody calls for my Hand of Sacrifice on, say, Operator or like any other fight I'm in, I'm not going to use it. Like, there's no point in using it. Otherwise, hey, someone tries to call for it and you've already used it, it's not available. But for example, if my co-tank said I'm gonna need a sack for this bit here, that's when you can use it there, reduce the damage a little bit, if they call out for it. Alternatively, you can plan in advance for when you're gonna need it. Like something like Gruul. Whenever we do Gruul on in our alt run, I know that I'm gonna need to use my Hand of Sack for my co-tank's first Inferno Slice. So you can plan ahead of when you're gonna be using it there. As well as that, you have a couple of different hands. You have Hand of Salvation, which temporarily removes your threat, I'm pretty sure you could only use it on yourself. I might be completely wrong. But it basically removes the threat of a party member or yourself for about 10 seconds. So if you find that you're doing too much damage and your co-tank can't keep the boss off you, you can pop that. And it'll temporarily give you a little bit of breathing room.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to have that problem.
The problem is with it, though, is once it wears off, all the threat comes back. So you could pop it and be like, oh, it's fine, you got 10 seconds. And then as soon as it's over, all of a sudden you're back at the top and the boss can interact and hits you in the face. But yeah. The other big one is Hand of Protection, which is BOP, or BOP Blessing of Protection, I guess it's known as. You can use that, and it basically makes a target immune to physical damage for 10 seconds, I believe. So
yeah,
you can use it on any
stupid long time, man.
Yeah, it's very, very strong. You can also use it to negate certain mechanics. Have you done Iron Maidens, like the actual fight itself? In Iron Maidens, there's an ability that one of the bosses uses called Focus Shot. No, it might be Piercing. Yeah, Piercing Shot, where they target a random raid member and hit them for an obscene amount of damage. It's like a 5-second channel.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is you can have the entire raid stack in to kind of split the damage, or you can just put a Hand of Protection on them and it makes them immune to it. So it's really strong in situations like that. You can also use it on melee DPS because they can't attack while they have it up. So if there's been anyone who's annoying you the entire night, just put it on them. Like, put it on them during their opener and watch if they can't do anything. Like,
I was leveling pallies with a friend of mine, and I may or may not have been trading off putting bopping people, you know, this low level stuff, but you know, there's this rogue that keeps running in, and like every single time he's like just standing there with the little crown above his head, can't do anything.
The best bit is I'm pretty sure if they use like the default Blizzard UI, I'm pretty sure it doesn't tell you who did it. So you can get away with it for an incredibly long time if they're just using that. Like, they'll have no idea what's going on.
Oh my gosh. That's a pretty scumbag move, but.
It can lead to some fun, I promise you that.
You know, there was, for the longest time, anytime you would, look up a macro or anything, it would always have, right there in the beginning of the macro, it'd be like, cancel or a hand of protection. Because you were wanting to, like, shut that off, you know, so you could...
I actually have... you can actually create something like that similar for Paladin, for Prop Paladin. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty useful macro to make. You remember how I mentioned earlier how you can use Divine Shield to kind of, like, negate some mechanics, like the Gruul Soak? Like, you can taunt, use Divine Shield, and it means that, like, is Inferno Slice won't do any damage to you? Well... What obviously once that's done, once the kind of taunt period's over, the boss is going to go back to hitting whoever's on top, and you'll still have Divine Shield. If you have a cancel macro, you can cancel it as soon as it's needed, so it's pretty useful to use there. Just don't hit it too early, or you will die, and it's definitely not something that you want to happen there. But it's a pretty useful macro itself there. I'll try and find the one I have to cancel it. Basically, the macro I have pops Divine Shield, taunts. And then as soon as the taunt period is over, it cancels Divine Shield. So that's kind of how mine works there. Make sure that the boss is still hitting you the whole time and not hitting your DPS friends. It's pretty useful.
Nice.
I'll try and find that one later on. But yeah. I don't know. What else is there to talk about Paladins? Is there any other questions you had about them or anything that you weren't too familiar with? Or?
I haven't played it enough to know what I don't know.
I've leveled several, and I always, like he was saying, I almost always level as Prod because it's just so fun and easy and very efficient, and, you know, so...
It is definitely fun. I mean, like I said, it's the Captain America thing. Like, you're throwing a shield at people. What's not to like? Like, it's...
Yeah, totally.
I mean, if you're hitting a button that has the word holy or righteous in it, you're pretty much doing the right thing anyway when you're leveling, so it's like, wouldn't worry too much there. I'm trying to think if there's anything that Paladins kind of, like, slip up on or anything like that recently. I mean, like, the main one I said is people spamming Word of Glory instead of Shield the Righteous, and it just leads to them getting wrecked. That's the kind of main thing. Just make sure you're not doing that, because it's bad for you.
So, this comes up often, and we have varying opinions on it.
I know where you're going.
where do you stand on the whole weak auras thing?
I don't think I use many weak auras for my Paladin. I have a set of weak auras that a friend of mine made, which tracks every single like tanking debuff in Blackrock Foundry and tells me like when I have a stack of a debuff or when my co-tank has one. Apart from that, the only one I use in my Paladin is a Shield the Righteous tracker to see how much uptime I have, which I think I got from Sloopback. I can't quite remember.
That's what I was going to ask you, mainly in terms of trying to keep track of that Shield of the Righteous.
The main ones I can recommend, I would recommend at least getting a Shield of the Righteous tracker. Sloopback definitely has a good one. He also has a pretty strong Sacred Shield tracker, which you're going to want to make sure you have as well. Aside from that, I don't use any weak auras on my Paladin. I mean, my monk is full of them. Like, I have my own weak aura suit for them, but for my Paladin, Shield of the Righteous and... Sacred Shield is all I really need to track. I mean, I use LVOI, so like my buffs and things like that are pretty well displayed as default through there. So, but yeah, Shield the Righteous tracker is definitely something I would recommend picking up if you're starting to play Prop Pally, because like gaming around your Shield the Righteous uptime is one of the key parts of actually playing it correctly.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Aside from that, weak auras. I have them for certain boss mechanics. Like in P3 of Black Hand, Mythic, Black Hand does like an impale on 3 different raid members. We have one so that a weak aura automatically assigns you whether you stand, like, because you need to move out the group, and if you're stuck on top of each other, it hits you like and just instantly kills you. We have a weak aura that basically tells you whether you want to stand on the left, in the middle, or on the right. Weak auras like that are really, it's a tiny little thing, but it makes like a what could be a horrible task pretty easy to kind of manage, if that makes sense. So That's, and like I said, I use weak ores all the time on my monk. I think with the amount of things monks have to keep track of, you'd be lost if you didn't. But paladins, Shield the Righteous and the Sacred Shield are the main thing you want to be checking over there. But you get a weak aura for them and you're pretty much set on
the right. Okay, Sacred Shield's the talent I don't have.
Yeah, that's definitely one you want to pick up because it's... I mean, it used to be, like I said, the Eternal Flame was great, but they just nerfed it on the ground. Sacred Shield's mm-hmm. the only way to go at the moment. And I mean, like I said, you had Selfless Healer, though, so I'm worried about that one. But we'll... You could be the first prop pally to use it, I guess.
I guess so.
Let's see. I was trying to think of what was I using in the Sacred Shield tier. I think I was using Eternal Flame. That's the same tier, right?
Yeah. Sacred Shield, Selfless Healer, and Eternal Flame are the main ones in that tier.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I was using Eternal Flame, but...
This being Wear's mistake, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's just it doesn't really mesh that well with the current tanking model, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And paladins have enough like small heals. The Eternal Flame just kind of doesn't contribute to it.
Yeah,
I mean, to give you an example, looking at it here at the moment, Eternal Flame, if you kept it on yourself. The original like heal is pretty strong. It's as default, it's 25k, and it's affected by what's called your Bastion of. Hold on, let me go hit a Bastion of Glory. There you go. I actually had to go and hit a training dummy to remember what the talent was called. But every time you shield the righteous, you gain a stack of what's called Bastion of Glory, and it stacks up to 5 times, and that increases the healing of your next Word of Glory by 20%. So that's kind of how you want to do it, if that makes sense. You want to build up Bastion of Glory stacks and then use Word of Glory to heal. Otherwise, it's kind of quite a weak heal. But that affects Eternal Flame as well. So, I mean, really though, even if you're using it like full stacks of that and you're keeping it up all the time and you just have like godlike trinket procs, it still doesn't quite compete with Sacred Shield at the moment. So, mm-hmm. And Sacred Shield is so easy to keep up as well. It doesn't interfere with your main rotation. It's really the only choice there at the moment.
I see.
Awesome. As opposed to Selfless Healer or whatever else you have. God, I'm like, I don't think I've ever even used that talent, but we'll...
I don't even know when I picked that talent. I really don't.
Well, it basically what it does is it's every time you use Judgment, your Flash of Light, which is like your spam heal, the cast time and mana cost is reduced by 35%, mm-hmm. and it increases the effect on others by 20%. It does nothing to you, though, so it's kind of awkward to use. But it's... I mean, you could be, like I said, you could be onto something. Like, I mean, maybe every theory crafter in the world's missed something, and that's the actual answer.
I don't think so.
It could be you.
I doubt it. I don't even know when I picked that talent. I just have some talents, and I don't know why I have them. I have no clue. Because I don't even remember the last time I played this character in Cataclysm. Or not Cataclysm, sorry, Pandaria. Like, I know I leveled it to 90 in Pandaria, but I don't recall ever playing it in Pandaria other than to get it to level 90.
Yeah. I was honestly the same. The legendary quest in Pandaria kind of killed alts for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously.
It's a little bit... I don't even know if it's a little bit better. I've actually just ignored getting like the ring on my third alt, or my second alt even, which is a bad move because I'm going to need the ring, but... It's so much effort, like, actually going through. And feeling like your progression is gated by a quest, it kind of deters the idea of leveling alt, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you want to level an alt when all you're going to do with the alt is, you know, like, grind the same quest you've done on your other tunes for, like, however long? I didn't play when, I don't know, how long, I mean, did you play, obviously? Well, I'm guessing you played during Kanto when, like, you had, like, actual legendary quests and stuff like that, and you had, like, the legendary quest for, like, the Lich King axe and things like that. Like, that's fine. That was a good that was a good legendary model. I mean, maybe not everyone got one, but at least you didn't feel like all your characters had to have it, mm-hmm. or you kind of, like, let down. Like, that's the kind of problem, I think, here with the current model.
I've been ranting a little lately on Twitter about that exact thing. I'm looking at this proposed model for what the legendary ring looks like, and I and I can't stand it. I think it's trash.
I personally think that's incredible because I'm going to feel like Captain Planet every time I pop it. But like that's the only thing that they've got to be thinking of. Like, there's no other way that they could be thinking. Well, you know, like, well, it's a group cooldown, blah blah blah. No, you're literally just Captain Planet whenever you use it. Like, it's. But you're going to get the one, like, scumbag DPS in the group who pops it for himself, like, on the pull, and it's like, no, we were saving that kind of thing, but...
I don't think with progression teams, like your team and you know, even our regular team, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal, but there's, I mean, certainly LFR is going to be a mess. I don't know, it's just, like, the proc basically is, like... you're a slightly better tank than you were, you can heal slightly better than you could before.
I can't even remember what the tanking one is. It's something about splitting damage between the two tanks, unless they change that. But it's very odd. It's a very odd kind of set, and I can understand why they're doing it, but I mean, that just makes it even worse. The fact that if you don't have this ring, you're not benefiting your raid group. Like, that's kind of how it turns out, eventually. And I mean, like, who's going to want to... I mean, say, for example, you think, oh, you know what? I don't like playing prop pally. I actually want to play, a prop warrior. So you level a prop warrior, blah, blah, blah. In Mists, obviously... I mean, in Cataclysm, you leveled your character. They had catch-up mechanics there, obviously, for your gear as well. Yeah. Like, you had the end time dungeons and stuff like that, and you think, all right, cool, I'm going to apply to a guild now and I'm going to see kind of what they think. Oh, that's cool, like I can see that you've just caught up with this gear, blah blah blah, but that's fine because that gear is still competitive. Now it's like, sorry, you don't have the ring. I mean, why would you take you, who doesn't have this legendary ring, over someone who does and can be a benefit to the raid because they have this ring, and it's going to increase the kind of overall effectiveness. It's a very odd system, and I don't really know why they've done it. And like I said, you get the same kind of problems you had in Mr. Pandaria. I think I did two characters with the legendary cloak in Mists. I don't think I did a third. I might be wrong, but like it's just time consuming. It's not kind of an enjoyable way to spend the game.
Oh yeah, it's very time consuming.
But, well, I mean, hopefully they kind of change that for the next expansion, because I don't want to have to grind out another legendary quest as much as I enjoy them. But, it's hopefully they do kind
well,
of...
Well, I don't know. I'm totally with you, like what you were saying earlier. I would be absolutely 100% totally fine, okay with this whole, like, I am going to... You know, the rogue gets it this time, or the warrior gets, you know, like, I don't know. There was something to be said for that, so.
I mean, I can understand, like, you want the game to be accessible to all people. That's, like I said, LFR does a great job of that. Well, it's odd, because they're trying to make the game accessible to more people by having these kind of quests that everyone can take part of, but at the same time, by doing that, they're actually cordoning people off. Like, you join the game later on in the expansion because your friends are playing, and the first thing you're met with is this, like, gated legendary quest. Like, you're not going to want to continue playing the game. There's no way. It's just not enjoyable for you anymore, and that's kind of the problem it has there, but hopefully we don't see that again, although I doubt it. Like, with no flying, it's probably going to be around for a while, but oh well.
Yeah. Okay, so is there any... advanced tips or tricks or anything that would help me bring my paladin tanking to the next level once I get all the rest of the lower level stuff figured out?
Like I said, the main part about it is obviously the build's important, but once you've got that, that's kind of sorted out there. The main thing, honestly, the main thing that I found I do on my prop pally that I don't need to do on my brewmaster is the use of external cooldowns. And by that I mean, like I said, hand of sacrifice, pain suppression, things like that. Do you use any kind of like tracker for external cooldowns in your raid at all?
No, we don't. And we toyed around with it, or I've toyed around with it, but I feel like we're casual enough to where we're not going, okay, pain subs up in 30 seconds. You know, we're, you know, we just kind of don't need that, you know?
I tend to use it. I mean, obviously, like I said, most of the people in my raid won't have it. The only people who will have, like, a cooldown tracker are the healers themselves and the tanks. And the reason being is because doing, like, actual content at the moment, especially as a paladin, like I said, they have very low effective health. You're going to probably find a time when, hey, I don't have a cooldown for this ability that's coming up. And having access to, like I said, just saying, hey, such and such, can you paint sub me or something like that? Having a tracker that tells you that is really strong. Exorcist Raid Tools is the one I use. It's a really strong add-on, and it gives you that kind of ability there. But the main thing about paladins themselves is ensuring your... Like I said, shield the righteous uptime strong enough, and ensuring as well that you're reacting to your incoming damage, which sounds really simple, but I mean, like, planning ahead, making sure you have, like, you know when you're going to need your big cooldowns, know when it's okay to kind of spare a mm-hmm. divine protection or two, filling in the blank periods when your shield the righteous is down. When it's up, you're pretty much going to be fine. There's not much that can kill you for it. There's the occasional boss that can kill you for a Shield the Righteous, mm-hmm. but you need to kind of plan around the times when it's not up. I mean, obviously, like I said there, you can talk as a brewmaster. Your main mitigation's up all the time. Imagine if that's only up for, like, say, 50% of the encounter.
I know, that's why when you're saying the Shield of the Righteous thing, it only, you know, I mean, with a little bit of luck and some RNG and the right talents, you can get it up more than a few seconds at a time.
Yeah.
But that just, like, hurts my brain thinking that.
It's like I said, it's planning around the times when that's down. Mm-hmm. That's the key part. And even if it's something as silly as popping, like, an armor potion to ensure that you're protected for the time when it's down, mm-hmm. that's kind of the key part of playing a prop paladin in my eyes. Just making sure that you need to be more intelligent with the usage of your mitigation than you do on a monk. Monk is literally just hit blackout kick, hit serenity, enjoy your rest of your, like AFK the rest of the fight. Like, your mitigation's up 100% of the time. Prop paladin is gaming around the times when your mitigation is not up. Kind of times when you have to worry about that,
right?
Generating as much holy power as possible, and then, like I said, planning around the time. So I would recommend picking up that divine purpose glyph and using unbreakable spirit. I don't know, actually, did you say what you were using as, like, your level 60 talent on your paladin?
What am I using? I have unbreakable spirit.
All right, good, because that's the one that reduces the cooldown of divine protection.
That was one of the ones that he got. Right.
Yeah, yes. There you go. Yes. There you go. So in the bingo tray, we got it fine. So, I mean, like, that's a huge increase. Having that divine protection on 30%, on 30 seconds is huge. So you can use that. Say, for example, you know, hang on, I'm not going to be able to generate enough holy power to cover me for the next few seconds. I'm going to use divine protection instead. That's going to cover me, and that means that when that falls off, I'll have 5 holy power in the bank ready to kind of to keep up my mitigation there. That's the kind of bit. It's not kind of a... It's oddly more engaging than a brewmaster, which is kind of why I like it. You just need to be paying attention through the whole fight and ensuring that you're kind of keeping your mitigation up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said having an external tracker is really useful, because there is going to be times when you're not going to be able to keep your mitigation up. There's going to be times when you think, hang on, I don't have anything for this next, like, couple of seconds here, or this next, like, 10 seconds. I'm going to get, like, stomped or whatever. You probably won't get stomped, but it helps to kind of have on the backup, see... this healer has this, I'm just going to ask for it, kind of thing. It's a pretty, pretty useful tip there.
Right.
As well as that, I mean, when this expansion started, my co-tank in my old guild didn't have a DPS spec. I used to just go in to dungeons and turn off right. Oh, that's a pro tip. Make sure you turn Righteous Fury on. That's your threat generator. And I have definitely turned it off by accident. And, like, not had it up for, like, encounters and things like that. I've definitely done that. I did it most recently on the PTR, and I was wondering why ads weren't coming to me. I had to fight really hard to keep threat on my co-tank, and then someone in my stream was like, oh, by the way, Mizume, you don't have Righteous Fury on. And I'm like, oh, God. That's a weak aura I would definitely recommend getting. You can make a weak aura that says, please, please turn Righteous Fury on. But when the expansion dropped, I used to just go into dungeons, turn that off, and I used to just DPS the prop paladin. And, like, I would beat our actual DPS. Like, you used to be able to do obscene damage there. But, like I said, plan around your mitigation, know when your weak points are going to be, and make sure you have Righteous Fury turned on. That's the kind of pro tip to being a prop paladin there. That, and, as I said, make sure you bubble your least favorite melee DPS, because that's always going to make their day hell.
Yes. All right.
They'll definitely appreciate it.
I'm sure.
I appreciate it.
Trying to think if I have any other questions, but I don't.
We kind of covered everything that I was going to ask anyways.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's a complex... Well, at times it's a complex spec. At times it's not, if that makes sense. I mean, the bare basis of it is pretty easy. Like, get holy power, spend holy power, profit. Mm. But, like, the backbone of it is you need a little bit more kind of, I guess, awareness of what's going on with it there. So it's a...
Right.
Really, it is pretty easy to pick up and play. It's just pretty hard to actually master there. But Holy Shield, the talent you've picked, does a really good job of that anyway, so you should be fine, really.
Mm-hmm. Great.
As long as you talent the right spec there, you'll be fine.
Yes.
So yeah, passive. The main things I was going to ask is just the Shield of the Righteous stuff and everything. I think the rotation's really not that hard, but...
Yeah. Interesting fact about Shield of the Righteous that I only learned today. Obviously, you know, like, snapshotting no longer exists in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how you used to have, like, Affliction Warlocks used to, like, snapshot their dots, and it meant that they could keep, like, a ridiculously powerful dot rolling for the whole fight. That's how you used to have such strong parses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Paladins, to my knowledge, are one of the only classes that still have a snapshot mechanic, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is, I mentioned that Shield of the Righteous gives you a blanket kind of damage reduction. That is affected by your mastery, alright? So that's affected by the amount of mastery that you have. Now, say for example that you have, you're maintaining Shield of the Righteous, blah blah blah, and you get a mastery proc, your Shield of the Righteous will go from like 37% reduction to like 47% reduction. If you keep that Shield of the Righteous going, even if you lose the proc, it will keep that amount of mastery. So you can actually snapshot it. It's pretty, like, weird, and I don't know why Blizzard, like, left it in, but you can actually, like, snapshot it to maintain a longer duration on a stronger buff there. It's difficult, but that's kind of another advanced trick that I guess I forgot about there. But yeah, that'll definitely do it for you there. It's, try and maintain that as long as possible. If you get, like, a mastery proc or anything like that, then you just want to keep Shield of the Righteous up as much as you can. Just forgo everything to try and keep it up there.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess we start wrapping things up then, hey?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So we had one of these, so we'll go for it.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
Masume, I think you said you had one for this.
that's the best bumper, by the way, I've ever heard. Like the actual kind of, that sound clip is the best thing I've heard in my entire life. My thing I learned the hard way is to ensure that your pets are not on passive. I played a Brewmaster in Siege of Orgrimmar, and I only recently learned through the use of the incredible technology we call YouTube by watching my old kill videos. I only just recently learned my pet was on passive for the entirety of that raid. All the time, ever since they introduced the pet bar for Xuan, like the tiger that you get as a monk, it's been on passive. All the way up until maybe about 2 months ago. And I don't think I'm ever going to live that one down. But
yeah,
always check to make sure your pets aren't passive.
See, I've done that, but it's only for like two bosses. Not an entire raid. Not an
Try
entire raid
months.
Tier. Yes.
See how that goes.
Oh, tier.
The worst bit as well is that for that 14 months, I was like, because I used to be a DPS scumbag when it came down to tanking. For those 14 months, I was rank 1 brewmaster in the world for DPS. So God knows what the other brewmasters were doing when their pets weren't on passive. But like, if mine wasn't on passive, I could have enjoyed the life a lot more. But apparently I had to work for it there. But just train your pets, kids, please. Like, that's the only way.
Nice.
Well, I don't have anything new, but I definitely I did tank some LFR on my Death Knight this week, and I did find myself having threat issues, and I was thinking like, man, this is definitely I get it. I understand what Salty feels like. And then Salty is my co-tank that plays a Blood Death Knight, and I'm like, man, I just can't hang on to it. Can't hold aggro. Can't hold aggro. And again, I had swapped over to Unholy Presence for the speed buff to run to the next boss. And again, forgot to put it back into Blood Presence. So that's one of my favorite lessons to learn over and over and over. And
I had
a weak aura for that, and I don't know what happened to it.
It's unfortunate. It's like our GM did something similar to that. He plays a Brimkin in his in our alt raid, and he tanked. I think the last time he was in a fight, he tanked it, and we went into Darmak, and he was wondering why his damage was terrible, and he realized he was in bear form, and he was also in bear gear as a Moonkin, and it didn't work out well for him. So please make sure you're in the right stance for that, kids. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work well for you.
See, I had the great thing is hearing these people that are like pro.
Yeah, exactly.
honestly, like I said, like we are US 12, narrowly missing out on like a higher rank, but we do stupid stuff all the time. Like we've probably done dumber stuff than people are even like ready for. We actually had a 30k Iron Maiden's wipe on our alts on Mythic 30k because our hunter. It came down, it was a long story, but it came down basically to the only person being alive being one of our hunters. He got that penetrating shot that I mentioned. There was only 30k left on the boss, so he could have just kept DPSing. He just instinctively feigned it, and the boss reset.
Oh, no.
It was like,
oh, no.
30k at the night, and I was like, yes, you technically did the right thing, but please never do that again. Like, it was the worst.
Oh, my God. Wow.
We have our share of blunders, unfortunately, but
oh, that hurts. I'm sure I've got something, but I didn't write anything down, so I don't remember anything.
I think you're doing it on purpose now, because I know something happened. I even told you.
I know, but I don't remember. See, you need to write it down and say, "Do you remember?"
Yeah, I do. Because I have something good almost every stupid week. So,
like I learned I'm not a very good paladin tank in LFR. I learned that.
It's LFR. It should happen.
No one's a good tank in LFR.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally. I used to go in LFR to help carry, at the end of Siege. I just used to randomly queue. That was before you had, the group finder. I just used to queue up and go in, get BIS eye level and just be like, "Hey, what's up, guys?"
I got this, don't worry.
Pretty much. It's like the other tank would try and turn off, and I'd be like, "Oh, it's so cute." I do one keg smash and it's back on me. I'd be like, "Oh, sit down, come on."
Oh, God, I love keg smash.
So it's ridiculous. I'm glad I got, it didn't actually need to be nerfed, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
Remaster nerfs are very odd and directed in the wrong places the majority of the time. It's whatever. It's like using a frying pan instead of a fly swatter, and it kind of leads to problems, but we'll get to that when we come to it. When there's a Brewmaster episode in 6.2, we'll get to that.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be asking for another one. But
yeah. Okay, well, I guess, I'm going to jam out on this because I can't think of anything. I really need to write them down. Rob needs to write them That's down, too. All right.
You got to think of at least.
I got nothing.
Well, nothing like... Anything old that you haven't mentioned before, or...?
No, I think I've mentioned all my stupid stuff before.
Well...
I've done the pet passive thing many times.
God. I've many recently times. Started leveling a hunter, so I've just done the pet not even out thing. That was an interesting one. Like, it's... Didn't realize that changing specs meant that you lost a pet. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm doing terrible damage as marksman. And then I went back to survival. And I was like, I'm doing terrible damage as survival. Where's my pet? That was it. Like, it was...
Oh, no.
Pets are the one source of problems, I think, in this game for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
They pull everything you don't want them to. They don't do exactly what you want them to do anyway. It's a bit of a nightmare. But mm-hmm. Hey, well.
Yeah, I know. Because I was trying the... Grimoire of Sacrifice and the talent that goes with the level 100 talent that goes with that. So I know a couple times I forgot to sacrifice my pet.
Yeah.
Which kind of negates on my warlock, yeah. Which kind of negates the whole point of the talent.
Your main warlock. Your main warlock.
My co-main. Co-main. Co-main.
Oh, co-main. Gosh.
All right, let's end this.
Hey, don't matter what you're out of town. He's got some shit else to send you. scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to youth and love tonight. Oh, I don't want to lose any love tonight.
All right, hand love tonight to our guildies on the Deathwing server in the guild had one job. Of course, I need to send some to our raid team, Team Crabdick, which is the majority of that is in that guild already. And I'm going to send some special hand love to my oldest son, who is 12 years old today. We just happen to be recording on his birthday. I'm starting to feel a little old, actually, since my oldest is now 12, which is kind of crazy in itself. And, of course, I need to send some hand love to Masume for coming on the show tonight to hopefully guide me in the right direction on protection paladins. We'll see if I can put what I've learned to use and actually apply it. So thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, it's no problem. I'm always happy to be here.
I wanted to thank Masume for coming in and talking about Brewmasters a little bit before we talk about Prop Pally, because I can't help it.
Thank you for talking about Brewmasters on the Prop Pally episode. It's fine. It's,
yeah, that's what I learned the hard way. Don't invite a Brewmaster main to talk about protection paladins.
I mean, it's... Yeah. My old's still... I guess my old's all right. Like, it's... But yeah. Brewmaster's,
no, it was good.
Brewmaster's too easy to play.
And definitely our had one job guildies and I don't know, just been having a lot of fun raiding, like a lot more fun than I had even planned on. So yeah, Mizumi, how about you?
Oh god, I have to send love.
You do.
I mean, I'm happy that my guild our alt run on our first kind of main like week, I guess, alt raiding, because I'm glad that those guys, we managed to get where we wanted, which was 9 of 10 mythic. Like, I'm pretty happy with that. And a lot of people, there's a lot of new recruits coming in as well, so there's a lot of kind of love going around there. And I also want to give a shout out to Preemptive Revenge on Terellium, which is the guild I helped to 10 of 10 today, or this week, for making me feel so welcome when we were there. It was a really good time actually raiding with them, which is odd. Tenant, like, it's odd to find, I guess, a guild that a completely different kind of psyche with regards to, like, mentality with regards to progression, but still has fun nonetheless. It's definitely a really good time raiding with them, so that'll be my love for there. And I'll give my love to Suplift as well if he listens to this. He's my gay Australian son. It's a long story, but we'll leave it there at that point.
All right, well, before we wrap this up, can you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, or where they can send hand love to you?
Sure. My Twitter is @MizumeMonk, and my Twitch, which I tend to stream at, is Misum, MISUM, so you can find me at both of those places there. You can also find my guide at summonstone.com in the Brewmaster section, and you can also go to icyveins.com, where I now moderate the Brewmaster section there, so that section is now up to date. Everything should be correct there as well, but either of those two places, you can reach me there.
Right up. Rob, you're green. You're always green.
Yeah, I was muted this time.
Good work.
Oh my gosh. That wraps up episode 94 of The Training Dummies. You can find our show on iTunes or Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. I don't know. I'm going to have to reword that, too. I don't want a bad review. You can follow our Twitter, and we'll keep you informed on all of the things. The show is @TrainingDummies. I am @RobCopeland, and Daryl is @Hend_TTD.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! I love the 20!